Welcome to another edition of These Things That People Make. I am your host, Sarah Mengel. These Things That People Make is a show about craft and zines and graphic novels and books and homemade museums and other amazing things that people make and the stories and politics behind those things. I realized this morning as I was preparing for the show that the show is over 2 years old, which is great. It's so exciting. And today I am bringing to you an interview with Natalie and Kim, who are the editors of The Awkward Sex Zine. And I'm really pumped to be bringing it to you. And I'm going to read to you their foreword at the beginning. It's an anthology zine. And I want to say that I'm pretty critical of anthologies. I think it's really hard to pull off a good anthology because it's hard when you invite really great people to write short pieces because it's almost sometimes a collection of introductions. And sometimes depending on the topic and depending on how long people write for, I find sometimes anthologies to be kind of unsatisfying because they don't necessarily have conversations with each other. And they sometimes I'm just like, I want one of these people to have written a whole book instead of me reading a whole bunch of small pieces about something because it just didn't go in depth enough for me. However, Awkward Sex Zine, what an exception. What a great, enjoyable zine. I highly recommend it. And I'm going to read to you the intro, and then we're going to go to the first part of the interview with the editors, Kim and Natalie. So this is what they say. One night at a bar, Kim told Natalie a story about an awkward sexual encounter. Natalie said, I want to read a book full of stories just like that one. This collection of stories is the product of that conversation. We initially thought that this scene would be full of physical slapstick, embarrassing interruptions by cops or parents, and sweet stories about awkward first times. You'll read stories like that in these pages, but you'll also read more poignant, emotionally complex stories of awkward sex. Some women told us stories that they've never told anyone else out of shame or sheer embarrassment. Others raised questions about non-normative sexual identities and practices, and most reveal a great deal about cultural expectations surrounding women's sexualities. Some will just make you laugh. Awkward sex can be physically comical, as in getting mosquito bites in unreachable places after a romp in the park, or getting a leg cramp, which your partner mistakes for sounds of pleasure. Awkward sex can be situational, as in feeling weird about shoving travel-size shampoo bottles into your partner's bum and asking things like, "Do you want me to try the Head and Shoulders bottle next?" Sometimes sex can be emotionally awkward, such as when a young lesbian woman who does not yet realize she's a lesbian has depressing sex with an unkind man and then convinces herself she's in love with him. Often sex that does not meet our expectations is awkward. When something goes awry, experiencing pain or discomfort, feeling uncertain about a choice we've made, a partner who says or does something that upsets us, we think, that wasn't supposed to feel like this. Many of our women-identified friends have been reluctant to share and claim ownership of stories of their less-than-perfect sexual experiences. To do so would be to admit that they were not having the porn-perfect, stably monogamous, heterosexual sex that is socially dictated for them. Rather than seeing this ideal as a flaw in the social fabric, many women continue to see it as a personal shortcoming. They are unattractive, clumsy creatures. They should expect physical discomfort or emotional pain. They are frigid or they are whores. In sharing these stories, the women in this scene reject these degrading notions of women's sexualities and take a decidedly empowered view on what awkward sex teaches us about ourselves and our desires. So once again, you are listening to These Things That People Make. That was the introduction written at the beginning of the awkward sex scene. And we're going to go now to the interview, first part of the interview with Natalie and Kim, the editors of Awkward Sex. Natalie and Kim, can you describe what the zine looks like and what's inside of it?
Sort of a bright colored cover, sort of like a pinkish red, I guess I'd describe it
rocket
as.
Red. Color, rocket red, I believe the red was called.
Yes, rocket red. and on the cover, there is a photo of a young woman from... taken from above, and it's sort of like from her neck down, and she's topless, but she's got her arms crossed in front of her, which struck us as sort of an awkward pose. So it sort of embodied the theme of the zine. And then inside, it's just black and white, series of essays, as well as artwork, and it's printed in a typewriter type of font.
How would you summarize what people were writing about and the different voices in the zine?
Oh, I think it's hard to summarize because there's so many different storytellers involved in this project.
Maybe that's the wrong question. Like, if you want to also like give some examples or.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that we wrote about in the introduction is kind of the themes that emerged, that things that, you know, it kind of. That all of the stories sort of can have in common, or so there were certain themes. So in terms of awkwardness and what awkwardness meant to people and how they interpreted that, our call for essays. And so, you know, for some people it was, I mean, we were kind of thinking there would be more physical awkwardness in the stories. That was kind of, we thought this, there'd be more comedy and kind of slapstick. But there really wasn't anything that I can think of off the top of my head about physical awkwardness explicitly. So physical awkwardness, emotional awkwardness, a lot of the stories were about how it made them, you know, the situations made people feel awkward. The situation might have struck them as awkward or uncomfortable in some way, just being in this situation, whether it was the situation themselves or how the situation made them feel. So it was kind of situational awkwardness. So there were, in a lot of the stories contain, you know, all three of these kinds of awkwardness. But those are some of the themes that we noticed amongst all this kind of threading through all of the stories.
Can you tell me the story of deciding to make this scene, where the idea came from, and then the story of the call out and putting it together? And
sure. Yeah. I'll vividly remember that night for probably the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Kim and I were at a bar. I had just moved back into town, so she and I decided to get together. And we were at a bar and sort of somehow got on the topic of awkward sexual encounters. Kim was actually sharing a story from her past, one of her experiences, and that led her
Which, incidentally, that story is in the zine, just under, not under my name.
Okay.
I didn't want to write it under my name in case any of my students might have gotten a hold of this. It might be awkward to have them in class after they know about my personal sex life. But, I told her the story that's in the zine that night.
Yes. And so when she was finished with the story, I was just awestruck. And I said, I would love to read a collection of stories just like that one. And so Kim kind of jumped on that and said, well, let's make one then. And that's really how it got started. I mean, it was literally the next day that we got on Facebook and sort of sent a plea out to our friends to start submitting things, and it just sort of snowballed from there.
it was the very next day, I called Natalie and I said, you know, I know you just kind of said that last night in the bar, but I had people over to brunch that morning and I kind of talked about it and they were like, oh, I had this one time, you know, and they were all telling their own stories. And I was like, wow, I think actually people might really relate to this. So I called Natalie up and said, you know, I know you're kind of joking, but I really think we should do this. And so let's write a call for submissions and just put it out there and see what happens. And yeah, then all of a sudden it hit the internet and we started getting submissions from, you know, Finland and Germany and Australia, and tons of Canadians showed interest. You know, then we started getting, you know, all of this email about it. So it was really fun. But it was actually amazing, the process of putting it together, how much Natalie and I were on the same page.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of not worried, I guess, but because I feel comfortable enough with Natalie to say, like, if I don't like something. But I was wondering how that would work between, you know, being co-editors with someone that you're friends with. And it was really, like, if we got a story that we were kind of like, eh, this doesn't really fit the theme, or it's not that good, or whatever, we both were on the same page with it every time. There was never any, like, disagreement between the two of us about those sorts of things. So the editorial process was really, really smooth and really fun and easy. And same with the design stuff. We were on the same page with that 100%. So it was really fun.
Goddamn Europeans, take me back to beautiful England and the grey damn filthiness of ages and battered books and
are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph and broadcasted on the National Campus Radio Association Program Exchange and on the internet at www.cfru.ca as well as Radio for All. And that song was by PJ Harvey from her new album, Let England Shake, and that track was called The Last Living Rose. We are featuring today on These Things That People Make an interview with Natalie and Kim, the editors of the Awkward Sex Zine, and we'll go back to that interview now.
The stories are really well written, so it's really satisfying to read for that reason. And also, they come across as very honest, like not staged, like people really delivered honest stories, and that makes a huge difference too, I feel.
Absolutely. I think I would say a good portion, if not the majority, of the essays were written under a pseudonym, and I think that afforded people the sense of maintaining that privacy, so they maybe felt more comfortable sharing and being honest, because it's a zine, it's a confidential format, and, you know, especially for our contributors who are not based in North America, the likelihood, I think, of, you know, one of their peers stumbling across the zine was pretty slim. So it was really wonderful that people felt able to open up and be honest and not censor their experiences.
Yeah, that was actually one of the first, I mean, when we started getting stories, I was kind of, once we started getting more mail, I was thinking, like, uh-oh, you know, I was just wondering what the quality of the writing would be, I guess. And
yeah.
I was super impressed. I mean, I was really, really impressed with everything that we got. We did not, I mean, there were maybe two or three things that we got that we, you know, just said, no, this doesn't really fit this project or whatever. But I think all the stories were really impressive and really have this confessional quality to them.
The zine is compiled of only women-identified people writing. And I wanted just to hear you talk a bit about why that was important to you.
Well, I think initially it sort of stems from the fact that when Kim and I came up with the idea for the scene, it was two girlfriends, you know, hanging out and sharing, you know, the cliched girl talk. But the more that we talked about these stories, the more we really started to get into the fact that women identified folks are not necessarily encouraged to own their sexual experiences, whether they're awkward or totally smooth, you know? So we thought, well, if we can provide a forum where people whose stories are often devalued can actually have a valuable experience, then that would be great. So that was sort of an empowerment theme, I guess, sort of emerged when we talked about it. We just rolled with it.
That makes sense. And then the other thing that I remarked upon and that I appreciated, too, is that you included people's ages. Could you talk a bit about what made you decide to do that?
Someone interviewed us for a Canadian website a while back when we were still collecting stories. And one of the questions, which made me think a lot, was, do you think we've become less awkward with age? And so, you know, this is it that with more experience one becomes less awkward? Does age have anything to do with it? And I don't know. I think the stories show that it doesn't. I think they kind of show that you might become more comfortable with awkwardness, but that the awkwardness doesn't necessarily go away the older that you get.
There's a story in the zine from an 18-year-old woman in Alaska, and it was the story of trying to lose your virginity. And I think some of us slightly older folks might read that and find it very endearing and relate to that point. But if the same thing happened to us today, we might not find it as awkward. However, there's going to be a totally different situation that we'll find awkward, you know, because of our place in life. So I think there is that sort of, we don't become less awkward as we age, but what we find awkward definitely does change, especially sexually, as you become more comfortable with sex and with what you want in a sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found it comforting, I noticed people sort of identifying the things that they understood now and reflecting on the things that they thought about sex in the past. And I found that really, heartwarming is the wrong word. I found it really comforting, I think, is sort of witnessing people's honest reflection on the things they had learned. But also, there was a few stories of people, it was like a super smooth sexual encounter, then all of a sudden train wreck into awkwardness.
Yeah, awkwardness does seem to sort of, especially with sex, it does seem to sort of sneak up on you. And I think despite knowing, you know, all of us know that no sexual encounter is going to be storybook perfect, you know, but you go into it hoping that it will be, because if you admitted to yourself that it was going to be clumsy and sort of awkward, I don't think many people would do it, or at least they wouldn't do it as much and as often. So I liked that everybody sort of mentioned in their stories, it sort of built up to an awkward moment. They didn't go into it thinking, wow, this is going to be really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that a lot of times the situations that people describe as awkward were things that kind of broke their expectations. So I think, you know, whether it's losing your virginity and you have this whole set of expectations around what that experience is going to be like, and then the actual experience is completely different, that makes people feel awkward. Or, you know, you kind of build up this person in your mind that you really like this person, and so when you get naked, everything's going to be awesome, and then it's not, and that kind of is a disappointment. So I think, I don't know, I think there's a lot of kind of breaking expectations, or not necessarily disappointment, but just things not going as people planned that kind of made them feel uncomfortable.
Drawing faces on our pictures of the lovers in my mind, running through the
You are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU and across the country on the National Campus Radio Association program exchange and Radio for All. And also, I post these shows on Facebook, and we have a new Facebook page for These Things That People Make, so you can Google that to see where it is. And if you have trouble finding it, you can send me an email, sarah.mangle@gmail.com, and my name has an H on the end of it. So we just heard La Sarah from her self-titled album with the same name, and that song was You're Going to Cry. I'm airing an interview with Natalie and Kim that I did last Monday. They are based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and they put together this very exciting zine called Awkward Sex. And it's a compilation anthology of stories written by women-identified people talking about awkward sex experiences that they've had. And we're going to go back to the last part of that interview now.
I think that one thing that, I mean, I think that I look forward to hearing about how the zine was received in general, but I think for me, seeing a collection of awkward sex stories together, it kind of breaks isolation and kind of normalizes and celebrates awkward sex and celebrates it in finding humor in it. And I think you're really right. I don't think that I have ever seen a collection of awkward sex stories. I've definitely read stories that included awkward sex, but I've never seen an anthology in a book or a zine or a blog that was like, let's go for it. Let's collect these stories.
Well, I'm glad. I know, you know, we were hoping that we would help people that we would tap into something universal and sort of open the closet doors on it, so to speak, and that people could relate to that, because it is a universal experience, and you're right, people don't talk about it very much, but it is, even the more heartbreaking stories, because we do have a couple of them,
yeah.
You know, those stories, the fact that the writers could even write about them, I think, signals that there was something to be celebrated from the stories. That they have lived through those experiences and can now write about them. So, but then, yeah, there's a ton of other stories in there, too, that are actually very funny. So I'm glad that we can help normalize the experience a little bit.
Can you talk about...
One of the,
sorry.
I was just going to say that one of the, I think, most difficult decisions we made when putting it together was how to place the stories, what order the stories should go in.
Hmm.
Because we didn't want to have all the funny stories together, all the sad stories together, all the first times together. I mean, we didn't want to, like, label them or categorize them in some way. So we were trying to decide the best way to order the stories. And Natalie said, I think we should think about this. It's like we're making a mixtape. You have to kind of weigh what should go next to each other. So maybe after a funny story, we should have a sad story, and it should kind of go up and down, just like you would, you know, mix slow songs and fast songs on a tape. And that made the process a lot easier, actually.
Yeah.
I bet you want a copy of the awkward sex scene now. And I want to give you the information about how you can get that. So you can send an email to Natalie and Kim, awkwardsexzine, all one word, at gmail.com. Or you can visit their website, which is a WordPress blog, awkwardsexzine.wordpress.com. Kim, of one of the editors, is now working on a new call for submissions for stories that take place on a Greyhound. I am sure there's thousands of those stories. That scene might be very large. Email awkwardsexscene@gmail.com if you want to find out more about that call for submissions. And when I get it, I will be sharing it with all of you. Please visit my blog. It's up to date. I am more on top of it these days. Thesethingsthatpeoplemake.blogspot.com. And I want to also just tell you that Betty Burke was the last musician that you heard and who I'm going to pull up in a second when I'm done talking. And that is from her new album, Dirty Mouth of the St. Lawrence River. And that song, You Can't Wear Suede in the Rain. And I'm playing that because it is so gross outside. So don't wear suede today. Wear plastic or I don't even know what raincoats are made out of. A raincoat. It's gross. And wear a sweater underneath. Okay, Locavore is up next. And next week on These Things That People Make, we will be talking about very awesome zine. It was written way back in 2007, but still timeless. It's A Guide to Manarchy. So I'll see you back next week.
This is Tasha T, and you don't know anytime I'm in Guelph, I always tune into Nikki Dread and the Crooked Beat. Oh, you mean, man? On CFRU 93.3 FM every Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. You don't know. We're gonna rectify the problem. Let's live and learn to solve them. We're gonna make it work together for the children. Years of reggae revolution. Set it!
For your own pleasure, a